Yo, long hairs, welcome to another episode of Let It Ride. Here we talk long hair and business, advocate for hair equality, and celebrate men's long manes with hair whips and high fives. If you're a guy with long hair,
you're in the right place. I'm Sean Horton, aka Elefante, creative director of the Long Hairs, and I'm sitting alongside our media producer and one of my longtime friends, Garv, aka El Garvinsky.
What up, what up? Who do we got in the house today, Elefante?
Before I introduce our guest, I want to remind you guys that not every guy needs to be a hair expert, but there's a few things that every guy with long hair needs to know. Things like washing frequency, brushing technique, how to deal with the naysayers, and much more over at Quick Tips. This is our free guide on the basics of hair care, and you can sign up at the link in the description. Today on Let It Ride, we have the co-founder of one of the newest and arguably best burger joints in town,
Woo.
Hayes Burger. Serving up simple yet ludicrously delicious flat-top burgers, Jimmy fries, with a side of spicy habanero ketchup right up the street here in Barrio Logan.
Saucy.
He's an extremely talented artist with pen and ink, creating intricate drawings reminiscent of architectural drawings populated with animals, monsters, and everyday tableaus as if looking at a hand-drawn freeze frame of some version of Blade Runner.
Sick.
A former architecture student turned burger mogul. He has curated art shows and fed countless paying customers as well as many in need around the neighborhood. You may have seen him featured on the blog in such articles as long hair, long curly hairstyles for men, and in our ads promoting the aforementioned Quick Tips. He hails all the way south of the border in Mexicali, which is really not that far. He's a surfer, a skater, a painter, a tastemaker, and a guy with great hair.
Yo!
He is Ernesto Villanueva.
Hey, hey, guys, what's up?
Yo,
welcome to the show.
Neto, you are now letting it ride. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure. First time that I do a podcast. But hey, you know, like, there's a first time for everything.
First
right?
time for everything. Yeah, that's shocking.
Everything.
That
yes,
it's,
sir.
It's shocking that this is your first podcast.
I'm ready, man, to talk shit.
All right, let's talk shit. Well, let's start. Let's go back to childhood, man. Where did you grow up and what were your interests?
So I was born in San Diego. And the reason, I guess, like for my parents, like me, me and my brothers being born in San Diego was to get dual citizenship. I guess there was like a thing that they thought like, oh, like when you grow up, like, it would be cool if you could have like property either side of the border, you know. I don't know, maybe that's how they thought about it, but
yeah.
I grew up in Mexicali and went to school there and decided to go to school, like architecture school here in San Diego, and that's how I ended up like settling over here.
Okay, so you were kind of bouncing back and forth. So you went to high school in Mexicali?
I went to high school in Mexicali, and I did junior and senior in El Centro, California.
Okay. Where, Brawley or Central High?
No, El Centro. No, it was a Southwest High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very hot air, like hot place to go.
Super
like,
hot.
To live. It's really hot, but very cool people come out of like El Centro.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody I meet from the Imperial Valley in general is like just quality salt of the earth people.
It's funny, but like it's also like, oh, we made it out too.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. My dad's from El Centro. He grew up out there. And everybody I meet is always just so great. So how did you get into architecture? You finished high school in El Centro, you came out here and enrolled in architecture school.
Yeah, as my parents did, they're both architects.
Okay.
I didn't have the idea of what they were doing at work. But as I grew, like when I was in high school, I was always drawing. I was doing like cartoons, like robots was my thing, just drawing like any type of robot. And I wanted to be first like a cartoonist. And then my mom was like, oh man, like you're not gonna make any money with that.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll be an industrial designer. I wanted to draw cars, right?
Okay.
And then I don't know, like it just came to me like, oh, but what about architecture? I mean, I can draw buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I ended up going for it. Went to like Mesa College, then ended up at Woodbury University, which is in, I don't know if there's, it's close or it's about to close. I don't know.
It's always kind of a ghost town over there.
Yeah. And I got out and that's how I got into like, what was the question again?
Just architecture. How you got into it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And so I got into it and then I really nerded out about buildings and I even traveled just to look at like a certain buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was really cool. It's that like the people that I met in my while going through like to school, it was great. You know, like I'm still friends with a bunch of people there. Like, we still hang out, and it's cool to like find people that you can share your ideas with, or even like talk shit about buildings. You know? Like, that's an ugly building. Like, who, which developer, like, who thought of this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The materials, everything, like color schemes, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, but.
We won't name any names. So you went to architecture school, but you didn't become an architect. What's up with that?
Okay. So, yeah, that thing, like, that sucks, dude. So, so you end up doing, like, what, like, you want to say like 5 years of schooling?
Yeah,
I did like 7 because I was like I went to Mesa College. I was trying to get like all these classes, ended up spending like 2 extra years, you know, just doing academic stuff. And then you finish school and then you owe all this money, and then you still have to pass 5 tests. They are very difficult. They're not easy.
Yeah.
And each test is like $300. I don't know how much they are right now. And then if you fail, like you have to do it again and again, and
you got to pay for
it again. It's a long process to get accredited as an architect. And even most of the people that go to architecture school, they never get the stamp, they call it, where you're able to stamp as an architect. And also, what is it? Like the AIA, is like the American Institute of Architects. Those guys are the guys is in charge of accrediting you with the, let's call it your title. It's called like architect, right? And I don't know, man. I always thought that they were kind of like a mafia type of, they just make money out of like people, you know? And they don't, I don't know. I was just not into that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of like soured like the whole, I want to be an architect and design beautiful buildings and fun buildings and crazy buildings, but no, it's AIA thing, you know?
So like, that damn stamp.
And I try to pass a test, but they're difficult, man. And I only have one friend who actually finished all of them.
Could you go back, or is it, I mean, you'd have to prepare again. Does that even interest you at all?
So you have to record your hours of work. Let's say, I think they had like, you have to do like, I don't know if it was 1,000 or 2,000 hours of certain areas where you, like for example, in structures, engineering, documentation. I can't remember what were those, but you kind of have to separate what you do, and then you record it, and then an architect has to sign them off and then send them to them.
I don't know.
It's lame.
What is there anything from architecture school and like the stuff that you learned that you still use today?
Definitely. I think that architecture school gave me a lot of like cool tools that you just use every day, like from looking at structures to looking at buildings. Even when I draw something, just see the lines, line weights, quality of materials, like you're always looking at that stuff, you know. I don't know, I think it's architecture, it's everything is designed, like it has a design, right? And you're always looking at like, oh, how do they make this, how do they make that. It's kind of like putting yourself in the mind of who designed this, how they designed it. And I feel like school gave me that, like putting myself in other people's shoes, just how can I design this, or what were they thinking when they designed that, you know, or created something?
Yeah.
What do you think of our design here at the HQ?
Well, I think that's nice, man. I like fake bricks, you know, like, and fake grass.
Chintzy. Oh, that's funny. Has that inspired at all your, like the work that you're producing now on the art side?
Yeah, definitely. So, I think it's something that is very difficult, still, you know, to me, when I draw, I think about, I'm always trying to be original about what I'm drawing. And sometimes it comes to a point like I don't have anything right now in my head. I could just draw anything, like a face.
Literally anything.
Anything. You could draw anything. And but it's a face. Like it's nothing that excites me about this drawing other than it's a really well-made, well-drawn face, right?
Yeah.
And but now I tried to look at settings, look at areas, look at doors, look at electrical details and things that they just I just populate my head with and create like a street scene.
Wow.
And it's all made up, you know. It's but it's just things that you see every day, and you're kind of, as long as you can, for example, like if you think about a tire, you can draw it in any angle. If you've seen a probably see a tire every day. So like if you can rotate it inside your head, just kind of like when you're working on 3D with architecture stuff, you can just draw it, like take a snapshot of that like while you're rotating into your head, and just draw that. And I kind of try to do like funky angles of things.
And then you throw in little details on the tire, like maybe it'll have like a patch, like an X patch of tape.
Like you wear off things. Like you make them real. Because it could just be like a line with no detail, right? Like it has no fill or nothing. But as long as you put texture in it, or things that might happen to that tire, like it could be a Band-Aid that's on the side, or like a nail that stick into it, you know? But those little details, I've always noticed that people kind of like them. They're like Easter eggs or something.
That's tight.
So another thing you take a lot of inspo from is like 80s and 90s sci-fi. Like movies like Alien and...
That's my favorite.
Right?
Full detail.
So what's like, what's the fascination with like older sci-fi movies?
Okay, dude, check this out. I'm going to nerd out about Alien.
Okay, go for it.
Nerd out with us here. But, open door.
Like, on the first movie, it came out in
1979.
And it has aged like perfectly. The details, that like the plumbing details in those hallways, alleyways inside the spaceship, all that stuff fascinated me. Like,
wow,
I was just like you know, in love with all, who made all this stuff, you know? And it was just for like a scene, you know? And so I liked that it was like a dirty ship. Like it was not like a clean, like nice, you know, like spaceship. It was just all worn out. Like these guys are like kind of like space truckers that they're just trying to get home and like go home and get paid. But there's this alien inside that we don't know how to deal with it, you know? And that thing just like it was one of the first movies that I remember like watching and being 100% scared. I had nightmares about alien like busting through my chest. And I didn't want to watch that movie, but then like the second one came out. Like, I mean, like I wasn't there when it came out, but like I saw the second one later, and I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, it's like Vietnam in space.
Yeah,
you know, it's so sick.
Yeah,
and kind of like all that stuff, like robots, space, like spaceships, soldiers with like kind of like gear and stuff. Like I was drawing those characters when I was in first, second grade. And like because of the movies, like I always loved watching movies and going to the movies. And my dad liked science fiction movies. Like he was always, his favorite movie was 2001 Space Odyssey, which now is like my top five. Was it 68 or 69? It was like 2 years before we made it to the moon, like when that movie came out. And it looks incredible. You know?
Looks like they knew
it. So like even the model making, because everything is like,
scale
models, and they were like, they look great, like everything was cool. And even in architecture school, when you do like models and stuff, like, oh hell yeah, you know, kind of like the stuff that I used to see on movies and stuff. Now they use CGI, but
so that's kind of like the, I want to say like the darker influence. But you also have kind of this more lighthearted, cartoony side of some of your work where you're kind of drawing like light, airy, like surf kind of inspired stuff too. So surf culture is obviously something that interests you
too. It's something that I never thought that I would be doing, like as somebody from like Mexicali, like
from the landlocked desert.
Like when I was here in San, like when I came to San Diego, like the first year, dude, I was here for like 1 year and I never went to the ocean. And I was kind of like thinking about like going back to Mexico. I was like, I don't know if San Diego's the place that I like, that I kind of want to stay. But then I, for some, because I was skating at that time, and then I realized like, whoa, like surf is kind of like skating. I'm gonna try it out. I'll see what's up. And
not eating on concrete, right?
It hurts less, but like it's also way scarier. Like there's, well, it depends. There's situations where like it could get really scary. Like whether it's like there's a large crowd and it's big.
Yeah.
Or like people that just don't know what they're doing in the water.
Yeah.
And also big waves. Like sometimes when you like when you eat it, when you like when you get caught up like in the inside and it's big, it's just
for sure, yeah. Man.
It's scary, man.
Yeah,
it's
cut up by fins, your leash, like all the different factors.
When you're bored tombstones, like you're getting dragged down and your board is kind of like sticking out of the water. Oh, that has happened to me one time. It was scary, man.
Yeah, surfing's no joke, dude. It's been years since I've surfed, but yeah, there's been plenty of times where I've been held under longer than I would have liked.
But yeah, like I said, I was like, it's something that I never thought I would be doing. And once I started doing it, I will see other people surf. Like I always have like an approach of if I do something, like don't be a poser.
Yeah.
Mm. Or like try to learn as much as you can and then go about your way with that. And so like the first sessions that I was going to surf, I was just watching people. Mm-hmm. I will try to stay as much away as possible and see how they paddling and stuff. Later, my friends, one of my best friends, like he surfs and he was like, dude, I'll come with me. I'll show you like some stuff and blah, blah, and whatnot. And then eventually I became a good surfer, I guess, like a decent surfer. And I never thought that we would have gotten like to that level.
Yeah.
Like I would see, I was watching like when I was like observing people how to surf. And so I was like, damn, look at that guy. He's got it. He knows what to do. He's catching all the waves. Like it would be nice if I could be able to catch all those waves.
Yeah.
And I thought it was something that was like way far, like down the line, like something I would probably never achieve.
Yeah.
And like right now it's like every time I go surf, like I catch waves.
Yeah.
It's fun. And I feel like I kind of got into like that space that I never thought I would be in.
Yeah.
So like I was saying, like, I never thought I would be doing this. Mm-hmm. But once you get the hang of it, like this is the sickest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Like you feel like you got into something that was like way, way better than what you expected.
Yeah. That's rad, dude.
Yeah.
So when did burgers come into the picture?
It's kind of funny, I think, because so my business partners, they had the idea of doing creating a restaurant, and they were like my homies, right? My friends. And I was hanging out with them while they were like trying to develop an idea for something, right? And I was doing architecture at that time. So I was like, hey, if you guys need anything with the plants, let me know, blah, blah. And one day they asked me like, hey, do you want to join the burger? Like we're going to do burgers, right? We're going to diner style burgers. And I was like, yeah, I'll think about it. You know, it's a nice offer, right? Like that's cool. And then like the next day I was at work and sitting in a computer for like 8 hours, just thinking about this could be different.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't know what that is yet. I've never worked in a restaurant. And not necessarily that, I mean, burgers were not even like a thing, like, that I was like, yeah, let's go get burgers. Yeah. Right? But I liked the idea. I was like, dude, this is like super like punk rock shit. Like, I don't know, like having a burger shop, like,
yeah.
And working with the homies there and like saying dumb shit all day and having a laugh.
Yeah.
And then I was in my computer, right? Like thinking about all these things. And I was like, yeah, man, like that would be sick. I think I should sell my car. and then I got into like that idea and I was like, I think I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah.
And then I'm not kidding. Like when I got involved, like when I told my friends, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's sign whatever I have to do. Yeah. How much money do I need and all that? And when I got into the burger thing, like a month later, I got fired. And I was like, holy shit, I don't have money.
From your old job?
Yeah.
You were like interning at an architecture firm or something? Or,
well, it was not interning. Like I was already hired, but how firms, they work is that, okay, you're hired and then you're doing your job and it's cool and all. And then if they don't get a project that they were waiting for, like the first person that they hire, like the last person that they hired, I'll be like, I'm sorry, man, but we got to lay you off. Like, oh, shit. So, I mean, I didn't get fired, I got laid off, which is the same thing, I think.
100%.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Technicality.
Yeah, and then I was, like, going to the train with my bicycle and all my stuff from the office that I was supposed to take home. Just, like, sad, like, dude, I only have, like, money for, like, 1 month, like, to pay, like, the next month's rent, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And I just had to find another job while I was working with the burgers. I was also doing the plans for the burgers. And then I got another job, and then with that job, I quit that job, and I was like, dude, I can't stand you, like this job, like this work environment is just, I don't think it's for me, and I think I'm just gonna go and work for minimum wage in the burger shop.
Uh-huh.
And I did that, and see, like when you go to school and you think, like, instead of like I should be doing architecture instead of like washing dishes and taking orders, you think that like you lowered yourself or something, but at that time I was like, no, this is something that I don't know what's going to happen, but it's cool, and I'm doing it with my friends, and that's how I got involved in it.
Yeah. And so you started as an employee.
Yeah,
got you.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm still an employee, you know, and I don't know, man. I love working there. It's really fun, and our employees, everybody is the coolest.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody is really cool. We're all having a good time. Sometimes we hang out, you know, and even like my business partners, I gotta give, dude, like all the credit to them. Like, we have to create a restaurant. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I didn't know how difficult it was going to be, and even like the little problems and things that come with that. A business, a restaurant, food availability,
yeah,
covering hours, like all the stuff that I never thought that I would be doing.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, not only the little challenges, but then there's like the massive challenge that everyone sort of faced in 2020, which is when you guys opened, right?
Yeah.
Was it beginning of 2020 or end of 2019?
So COVID was 2020, right? Like February of 2020?
February, March, yeah.
March, actually. Yeah, end of March.
The official shutdown, yeah, right, it was in March.
No, because I remember that, like, December, people were talking about it, like, in 2019.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's this virus, right?
Yeah,
like, all right, cool. And then, like, by February, you're like, okay, it's here. It's in the U.S., right?
Yep.
And then, oh, it's only, like, 18 cases, and then... Next thing you know, okay, by April, we opened in April, right? That was our first day.
April of 2020.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I think that, like, we were just waiting for one stamp from the, what's the name of the agency?
Health.
Yeah, like the health department.
Yeah.
So we're just waiting on that. And I remember that the guy came in, the inspector, and he had a mask on, and like that was kind of like the first time that I saw people with like wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think this is gonna be one of the last stamps that we're gonna give because we're gonna shut down like parts of the city and all this and stuff. And I was like, damn,
yeah,
we made it after 3 years.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden
we barely made it, you know, like it could have been like a whole extra year of paying rent. Well, I guess like they were helping you paying rent, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what would have happened, but
yeah.
We're like, dude, we gotta open. Like, we don't have like anything else other than just opening and figure out what happens.
Yeah, and you guys had to go immediately into like carry out and delivery, right?
Yeah,
because they weren't letting you serve in person.
No, it was closed at first. It was only like takeout. Then they said that it was okay to do dine in, like, and then no, and then yes, and then no,
and then you had to get the outdoor thing
at a certain point. Even like all the restaurants were like, dude, I don't even know what's like, whether you can or you cannot, like I don't know right now, but I'm just letting people
we gotta make money, we gotta open, yeah. we gotta employees style, that need hours, and
yeah.
Oh, what a fucking nightmare,
yeah, like the first 3 months were one of the most difficult things that I have to do, like work wise because we close Mondays and Tuesdays now. Mm. But when we opened, we were open Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was three employees, me and my other two business partners. And we were working, all of us, from 7 in the morning, 7 a.m. to like probably 11 o'clock at night.
Brutal.
For 3 months, every day, like nonstop. And it was every day it felt like I went to Disneyland and I walked for like 8 hours. and I was like, is this going to be this way forever?
Yeah.
It has changed, and then like you start getting used to it. Like it's not even bad anymore. But like, at the beginning, I was like, "Oh fuck!"
Yeah,
like this is brutal, you know.
Yeah.
So what? Haze has a very specific look and aesthetic and vibe. Is that something that you guys had kind of curated and assembled, or is that just a natural sort of like all your guys' tastes kind of like, combined.
I feel like it was organic. Because we rented the spot and we built it. And as we were building it, we did art shows there too. And we saw like people coming in, looking at the place, looking at the artwork that was hanging there at that time. And we kind of thought that it's just going to kind of take like an organic approach to everything. Like the stuff that we hang, like all the paintings that we have, all the toys and everything. It was just people brought them to us, or whenever I'm walking and I see something cool, like this will look cool at the shop. Uh-huh. But there's no like the aesthetic or like, I guess like image. Is there's really no image.
It's just you guys.
It's just, it's like if you're in your apartment, like, oh, like if you're like a hoarder or something, like, yeah. I'm just going to take this to my apartment.
Yeah.
Just leave it in a corner somewhere.
Yeah. I like the way this looks.
Yeah. And it kind of like took that initiative, like how we did that with the place. And we always get people, I love when people are like, hey, can I bring like one of my pieces and like hang it here? Yeah, man. Like, or when people play music, yeah, they come outside. Hey, do I have to talk to someone to play? Like, dude, go out, have at it, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Set up whatever you think is going to be cool, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's, I like the organic aspect of that. Like not even taking yourself kind of like too serious, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
It's more fun, you know?
Totally. It's got character.
Yeah, like if you have to be like, oh, no, we shouldn't do this. It's supposed to be this way. No, like we figure out as we go. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe like people kind of like see that, or maybe they sense that. And yeah, I think it's cool, you know?
Well, it's a very organic, eclectic collection of things. It's just a bunch of things in there, you know?
Yeah, it's things, water leaks. But like it's the way that how it looks, even like there was a guy who used to live like across the street from Haysburger. You remember Jose, right?
Of course, yeah.
And he will always bring us toys Yes, rest in peace. And he'll always bring us toys or little artifacts, things that he would just be like finding on the street.
Uh-huh.
And we just like hang him there, you know. Yeah. And like, oh, this is cool. Like, he brought, like, the E.T. with, like, the tricycle. The one that we have, like, hanging on the ceiling. That was his idea. Wow. You know, like, the E.T. thing. Like, the image of, like, the kid on the bicycle.
Yep.
That was his whole idea. And then, like, every time that there's, like, a kid with his mom and they go in order, like, oh, look, mom, there's, like, an E.T. there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So that kind of leads me to another question. Like, you guys have been known to take care of a lot of the folks around the neighborhood who, you know, either live in the park or around the park or in the neighborhood. Is that a core value of the company, or is that just something that's kind of innate, like, to you guys? You just have this desire to kind of care for people.
It's how I would say, like, when we opened the restaurant, I kind of had like I said, I learn every day new things, right? I'm always like always learning. And I thought at first, like, hey, like, so, like, we have to sell everything. We have to charge this price and all, because that's going to make the business good and all. But when people are hungry and they're like, dude, I don't have money. And, like, you have a restaurant behind you with a bunch of food.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, do you want a burger? Like, yeah, why not? You know, I feel like it was something, like, very human. Like, you know, awesome, just, like, if you don't have money, like, I'll give you a food, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's food's gonna be left over. Like, there's gonna be leftovers.
Yeah,
there's always gonna be food. Like, we're not even we don't even know how much is, you know. And at the end of the day, like, when the restaurant is closed and like we close forever, that's when we're gonna know, damn, like, we probably wasted a lot of food, you know.
Yeah,
but if like it's just like I feel like it's like the right thing to do, you know. Like, because it's people that, like, dude, like, you can't be hungry, like, walking on the streets, you know? And it's hard for some people. And at least that helps a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Or even, like, they take the food and they exchange it for something else that they need with other people, you know? Like,
hell yeah.
And it's cool, too, you know?
It's
currency.
Yeah. Food is currency.
Burgency.
Yeah.
Burgercy.
When,
Burgency.
So you guys, I mean, it would appear that you guys have been very successful over the last three-ish years.
That's three-ish.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you think has been the biggest driver behind the success of Haysburger?
Uh, I don't know, man.
Yeah, if you could, yeah. Put a name to it.
Yeah, like, let me...
I mean, you guys make incredible burgers.
Yeah, well, quality is part of it. Maintaining the quality, it's another thing, too. And, you know, I do know what it is. And I feel that, my business partners, me included, and our employees, they all... put like a lot of work and dedication and I think that's what it was, like resilience. We were just like really like try to be on top of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like this is our life now, you know, and this is kind of like my house. Like we have to fix this, we have to address this, we have to, you know, take executive decisions about things.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. Maybe like I said, product, like the product, it was good. And then we were just like stoked about the product, and yeah. It was like a major driver too. Like, yeah, man, we got something going. Let's keep this thing going. Yeah. You know.
And you've got major buy-in from the folks who work for you too, right? Like, yeah. They all really respect what you guys. Have built.
Everybody eats a burger every day.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I eat burgers every day.
Uh-huh.
I never thought that I would be eating burgers every day, but yeah. I haven't. I'm still not sick of it, man. Like yeah. I still eat burgers every day.
They're so good, dude. I mean, yeah. We're a huge fan here. We all love Haze Burgers. So let's talk about the hair.
All right, let's do hair, man.
When did you start growing the hair out?
So it was in 2019, like October of 2019. It was like just right before like COVID. I just thought like, cause I've always had kind of like long hair.
Yeah.
Like short, but kind of like longish, like it's not like, not to this hair. Length that it's right now. And I just thought, you know what? For the first time in my life, I'm just not going to cut my hair. I'm just not going to give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, like I was just, I'm just going to go and not get my hair cut, just hang out and see what happens. And then I realized that people like long hair a lot, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting compliments about my hair, and I was like, oh, no shit. Like, people really dig my curls.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was this curly.
Yeah.
You know, until it started growing, you know, along. And I learned a lot about hair, actually, by you.
Sure, yeah.
I was really going about my life not knowing about brushing, I would just do, like, regular, like, shampoo, you know, and... Yeah. Like the $2 Suave thing. Like,
but we've hooked you up with a couple.
Yeah,
of
no, you guys hooked
stuff,
me up with. Yeah. It's great stuff, man. Yeah. It makes my hair smells nice.
Uh-huh.
And then, dude, like people like notice that, you know.
Yeah, when you take care of the hair, dude.
You got to take care of the hair, man. Yeah. Hair is important,
especially when you're surfing.
It just became one of my talking points now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, like I see a guy and he's like, "Dude, you know what, dude? You should put like product on your hair." Uh huh.
Oh,
you should brush it. Yeah, now I'm that guy,
guys.
You know?
That guy.
Now I'm that dude.
We love it.
Yeah. That's
we sick, love to dude. See it, dude. So you made a conscious decision.
Yeah, it's
growing
like,
out my hair.
I will go to like employees like, hey, what do you put on your hair? Because, you know, it's like, yeah. We have like hair conversations.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It's a great icebreaker with the yeah. ladies, too.
Oh, it, yeah, yeah, it,
I
it
love
is.
Your hair. What do you use?
Yeah. Like, great job, man.
Oh, your curls. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
And you were in a commercial recently.
Yeah, I don't know if it's out or if it's going to come out.
Okay.
Is this a sports betting company?
Yeah.
But my friend, he worked for the creative agency that...
Yeah. Carousel,
they,
right?
Yeah, they yeah. orchestrated the whole thing. And so I got invited to be like one of like the extras or what, like... I had no idea what the whole show, like the whole thing was going to be about. And so I get to the shoot and it's just... There's a Lambo outside, a bunch of like... babes in bikini, and I'm just there like, oh, hi guys, I guess I'm the guy with the long hair or something.
Yeah.
And then they were doing like the briefing of how the whole shoot was gonna go, and they said like, so Ernesto right here, he's going to be like the protagonist of the whole commercial. Like, oh
yeah,
oh,
this news
oh
to
shit
me.
Like, oh, okay.
Okay.
And then and dude, and a funny thing, like there was a girl who was just like, she will do your hair.
The stylist, yeah.
Yeah, the stylist. And she's like, damn, you got like nice hair. And so I'm like, dude, I'm going to keep rocking this
yeah.
shit, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think the long hair was part of the reason why you got cast?
Maybe. Because I always like to make people laugh all the time. I'm always saying like dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Like whatever comes to my mind. And they kind of like my attitude. I guess the owners of the like the
agency.
Yeah, the agency. And I guess like my personality, like, oh, should I do this on the shoot? Should I do that? And they were like, yeah, go do that.
Do all of it.
And they like my personality, I guess. And I think that kind of, I think it was kind of cool, you know?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I'm directing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So we get guys comment all the time with issues that they suffer from having long hair. What are some of the most common issues you have
with your hair? Oh, you know when you have like a backpack or something and it gets stuck on the strap.
Oh yeah, dude.
When you pull your hair, like things that pull your hair.
Yep.
Also, I used to brush my hair from like all the way to like the top of your head down. And then I saw my friend Mikey who surfs, and he was just going like this. Like, oh yeah, that's the way.
This is the way, dude. Yeah. Start from the bottom.
Yeah, and then that was like a thing. Also sleeping sometimes.
Uh-huh.
The buns, the hair buns, or yeah. Like, dude, that sometimes I get like a little dreadlock in the back, and uh-huh. I gotta brush that. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. How often do you brush?
I should be better. Honestly. Because I have like a really shitty brush right now, but it's like probably 3 times a week.
Okay, that's not bad. Well, we got something for you back there, right, Gar?
Oh, yeah, dude.
We got, ooh,
we got a brand new shiny long hairs Continental, which is now broken.
That's all good, man. It works. Brand new still.
So this guy right here, yeah, you want to start from the bottom. I would say you're a curly haired guy, so I wouldn't do this like daily or right before you're about to go out.
Uh-huh. But take note here.
Because what's going to happen is that's a detangling brush. It's going to separate your curls.
Uh-huh.
So it would be great for prior to your shower. So take it.
Gotcha.
Brush your hair out before you get in the shower.
See, I'm learning stuff right now.
Yeah. Because like during the normal days when you don't wash your hair and you just like wake up, all you want to do is finger comb it because mm-hmm. you don't want your hair to end. You don't want to end up with an afro, right? Uh-huh. You want your curls to be still defined and kind of like, you know, cling to each other.
Yeah.
So I would say use that brush before you get in the shower when you're going to wash your hair. Wash it. You know, shampoo it, condition it, and then when you get out of the shower, just, you know, towel dry it, and then finger comb.
Gotcha.
Don't use the brush after the shower, but finger comb through your hair. And I think you have some leave-in conditioner from us too,
yes.
Right? Put some of that stuff in, finger comb it through. But I would say only brush, like do a full brush out where you're going to go from the bottom all the way to the top,
mm-hmm.
and then brush out all the dead hair and shit prior to a shower.
Yeah.
And then in between your showers, just finger comb, you know.
Yeah.
In the mornings would be super helpful because I imagine your hair gets probably pretty tangled at night.
Yeah, man. I like to sleep in my couch a lot.
Uh-huh.
And that creates like a bunch of like crazy.
Yep.
Like hair, like just like the side of my like the side of my hair, just like all like tangled. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then I just walk outside the home, like I just all right.
Or I'm put good. It up in a ponytail or something, throw a hat on.
I feel just like I feel like also like not even brushing it, but I feel sometimes like it looks cool your hair where you just don't touch it, just like
yeah.
However, I woke
natural.
Up.
And,
yeah, it looks kind of cool too sometimes. Like, I will have, like, hair sticking out, like, on the side, like uh-huh. this and like that. Like,
screw it.
You know?
Yeah.
And the people, but your hair is really nice.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of us are lucky, man. So, you're planning on keeping that hair for a while, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I guess if I end up cutting it, I'll probably donate it or do something like that.
Oh, speaking of donations, huh? So we got something for him?
That does take us to the next point. If you're ready by next March...
Oh.
To donate your hair, we have the Great Cut. I don't know how much I've told you about the Great Cut.
Yeah, you told me about it before, yeah.
So we broke the world record for the most pounds of hair donated in 24
hours. Wow, that's crazy, man.
Back believe in it. 2019.
Better believe it.
So we're doing it again 5 years later to the day, March 16th, 2024, at the Broadway Pier here in San Diego. And if you're ready by that time to give the chop, I'm going to be buzzing my head, so I'm going to go down to like a 2
uh-huh.
that day.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I've known you. Haven't known me with short hair.
No. I've always known you with like the long, like the really long hair.
Yeah. So yeah, we're all gonna be
You're doing it this next March?
This next March, yeah, 1 year from now.
Damn. How long did it take you to like grow that long?
This is probably 4 years now. I think I started in 2018. I started growing in 2018 or early 2019. But yeah, I'm kind of ready to have short hair again for a second.
Oh, dude, like it's going to imagine just like if showering is going to be way faster.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait.
I mean, I kind of look forward, like when I take a shower, all right, I'm going to treat my hair, you know?
Yeah,
like, it is. I'm going to put those nice products in. I'm going to come out and I'm going to smell nice, you know?
Yep.
It's also cool, too, you know, like having long hair, you come out of the ocean after you're done surfing, the hair is like looking sick.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah. Like ocean
the
water.
Walking by,
like,
you're like, hey,
yeah. it gives it like a nice texture. I like how it feels, too, yeah. You know? You also guys have that product, right? The
sea salt spray.
The sea salt spray, yeah.
I've
used that. Yeah, it's nice too. Yeah.
Yeah, it emulates the qualities of the ocean, the way it makes your hair kind of curl up a little more as it dries. I love that stuff. I use it to kind of put, because I have really straight hair.
Yeah.
It'll put waves in my hair because I'll get in, I'll get out of the shower, I'll put the leave-in conditioner first.
Yeah.
To make sure I'm like hydrated. And then I'll give a good spray of the sea salt spray and then like put it up in a loose like top knot, twist it up on the top of my head.
Yeah.
Leave it, let it kind of dry out. And then when I pull it all out, it all has like these sort of like really gentle waves.
Yeah. If you want to know more, check out Elefante's hair routine.
Yeah. I have a hair routine on YouTube. Just search how to optimize your hair care routine.
That's cool.
And it's really for guys with straight hair like mine, because I'm a guy with straight hair. It's like my straight hair routine. But yeah, check it out. We'll link it in the description, actually.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'd love to see you at the Great Cut, whether you're going to cut your hair and donate it or not.
It's a good cause, you know, if you think about it.
It's a great cause.
Yeah, but I still kind of want to rock. Maybe not the next March, but
the next one.
Maybe the next one, yeah.
Grow it out for another 5 years. It'll be down to your belt by then.
Dude.
Probably, huh?
Dude, it'd be so epic.
I think it will be really sick.
So epic.
I'm going to have like the death metal, like kind of like fan look, you know.
You just got to make sure you keep the dreads out of it.
I know. I got to get better at that, dude.
Hey, bro, you could probably sponsor the 2024 one. Haze Burgers.
Sponsor of the Great Cut.
Yeah.
It could. It could be too.
We will need some food vendors for sure.
Vendors,
yeah.
We're trying to double our attendees, which I believe was in the 1500 to 1600.
Yes.
That's a lot of people. Nature,
yeah. We're trying to double it, so about 3,000 people we're hoping will show up, and tickets will go on sale in the next probably 3-4 months at thegreatcut.us. If you guys want any more information, head over there. You can sign up to be an attendee. You can sign up to be a volunteer hair cutter. You can sign up to donate your hair. You can sign up to be a performer if you're in a band or you perform in some way. All that stuff at thegreatcut.us. Sign up now. Stay informed.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about covers it.
Oh yeah.
For this episode.
All right.
Give us some shameless plugs. Where can they get some great burgers? Where can they see more of your work?
All right. So, if you guys want to try a really good burger with cool people making them, you should definitely go to Hayes Burger in Barrio Logan. We're adjacent to the Chicano Park. Feel free to stop by, check out the art that's inside. Also, like a bunch of the arts, like from the employees, you know, like
cool,
can't miss it.
Yeah, support. And if you guys want to see cool art, check out my Instagram, which is le_stankly. I can't remember even what it was.
Le Stankly. Le. Let's look it up real quick.
Yeah, it's le_stank STANK_LEE. Yes,
go.
I think that's the one. Yeah,
there it
like
is. That. Yeah,
that's mostly where I upload all my stuff. I don't know, man. Like I get tired like from Instagram sometimes, but
it's hard to keep up with,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, hit up le_stank_lee, and give Neto a follow. His work is insane.
Try to make it really hard to find.
And before we go, I want to remind you guys to check out Quick Tips. We'll have a link in the description. Everything you guys need to know about caring for your hair. It's free. So sign up. And that's
pretty much it, huh?
That's pretty much it. Neto, thanks for being here, dude.
No, thank you guys for the invite.
Great time, dude. Hang
on. Oh, I had fun, man. And I got to
A new brush.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, continental.
Until next time, boys. Keep letting it ride.
All right, guys.
See you.